Welcome to Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio. This is Peter Roseberger, and this is the program for you as a family caregiver. How you feeling? How you doing? Did you eat too much? Has it been a good weekend for you? What'd you think? Did you make it through it? I bet you did. You're tough. Tougher than train smoke. Stronger than elevator rope. Tougher than a Waffle House steak. Glad to have you with us. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. We didn't go anywhere for Thanksgiving as far as leaving the state. We did go a place that we love dearly. We've been going there since 1995 for very special occasions on the other side of Big Sky Ski Resort, and went with some friends of ours. Our kids couldn't come out this far for Thanksgiving. It's a pretty quick trip to do for Thanksgiving, a lot going on. So we choose to go to this restaurant that we enjoy and this inn that we could stay there because Gracie doesn't do real well on the round trip, you know, to do it in one day. It's a little bit of a drive, and it's only a couple hours, but, you know, it's right there on the river, and they have little cabins with fireplaces in them kind of thing, and right there on the river, and it's just a lovely place. It's called the Rainbow Ranch. We've been going there for years, and it's halfway between Bozeman and West Yellowstone, Montana, and that's where, you know, many people have come over the years to stay. It burned down one time, but it's got a lot of historic components to it, and great food, and we have some dear friends out here that we all went. In fact, I will tell you this little heads up, the friends of ours that went, they have twin daughters, and they're both 17, and they are doing the artwork for my new children's book that's going to be coming out in 2025. So you're going to hear more about that as we get a little closer. And it's a book I wrote for kids, and these girls, Kate and Lily, are doing the art for it, and it's I think you're going to love this book. So we had Thanksgiving with them, and it was a good time. I'm not doing a full show for this Saturday because I'm up against the gun with some time. And I asked producer Pat to pick out whatever she wanted to pick out for the remaining part of the show. I trust her judgment implicitly. I have no idea. I'll be just as surprised as you will when I listen to it. But she's awesome, and she's also one of us as a caregiver, and so she understands the journey, the mission, the message, and most importantly, the hope of the Savior. And so I'm thrilled for that. So I give thanks for so many things. I didn't have to clean up for Thanksgiving. I give thanks for that. I didn't have to cook it. I've done that before. I've done the entire meal before. I've done it all, but I didn't have to this time, and I am grateful for that. Listen, a couple of things. We're going into the Christmas season, so I just want to give you a little bit of encouragement and heads up. We need to buckle up, okay? This is the time when our defenses are down, we're stressed, we're tired, it's the cold and flu season and everything else, and our nerves get a little bit raw. We're trying to do a lot of things in a short amount of time. Do you suppose you could carve out some time to just be still? Take time for stillness, or make time for illness. Okay? Take time for stillness, or make time for illness. That's one of the quotes in my second new book that's coming out in 2025, and that's going to be called The Caregiver Companion. They're going to re-release A Minute for Caregivers with that book. All of these are under my publisher, Fidelis Publishing. They're doing the children's book. They're doing A Minute for Caregivers, When Every Day Feels Like Monday, and now The Caregiver Companion. And they're going to release those last two as a set for family caregivers. It'd be a great gift. It won't come out until 2025, so sorry you couldn't get it in for this Christmas. But it's filled with quotes that I've said over the years, and I marry it with a hymn stanza, portion of a hymn, or a scripture verse. And this one is one of those. Take time for stillness, or make time for illness. And the hymn that I used with that is one written by Katharina von Schlegel, and it's translated from, I believe, the German. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Now, we don't want to hear that, do we? that doesn't preach much on television. Do you ever hear TV ministries out there saying, bear patiently the cross of grief or pain? I mean, when's the last time you heard a televangelist say that? But yeah, that's a great text, and it lines up with Scripture. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. Leave to thy God to order and decide. How many do you hear say that? We want to somehow manipulate God into making our situation better. If we can squint our eyes real hard when we pray, and if we be real good Christians and we not do this, we do this, or you put this money in, you're going to get your breakthrough. You're going to get this. No. Katharina, she really got this right. Leave to thy God to order and provide, in every change He faithful will remain. It's changing all around us, but He doesn't. Be still, my soul, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. We have thorny ways. We are doing it right now, and we have them yet to come. But our hope, the hope of glory, is that, and when I say hope, by the way, that is not wishful thinking. That is not our dream or desire or wish. It's a stronger word. That's the English translation. But what Paul is talking about, our hope, Christ in us, the hope of glory. What that means is that persuaded conviction. We can anchor ourselves on this. Okay? And that's what the author is referencing here. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. This is not up for debate. This is not up for, I hope it all works out. No. My hope is in the name of the Lord. That is not my desire or my wish. That is my anchor. Do you have that? Now we're going into a time of year, I'm telling you, this is a hard time of year for us as caregivers. Okay? There's a lot of extra bustle and, you know, and we get a lot of sentiment with the songs and so forth. And I love them. I love Christmas music. I love Christmas. I love all kinds of things that we have Christmas out here longer than most, because it looks like Narnia where we live 6 months out of the year, and we have so much snow. And if you want to see pictures of that, you can go out and take a look at the website or at Hope for the Caregiver, the Facebook page, because I post a lot of those out there. Or you get the caregiver calendar. It's filled with pictures that I took of where we live here and the scenes that we get to see all the time, and it helps still my soul. You know, I've been a caregiver a long time, and I didn't realize how frenetic I was until I moved out here and was able to just to kind of settle down after decades of just running wide open. And this has been, I took drastic measures to help settle myself down, to take time for stillness, because I knew that I'd have to make time for illness. How many of us are pushing ourselves to the point where borderline having a stroke or a coronary? You know, we have to respect the stress that's on us. And Scripture is filled with admonitions to us and to very specific people in Scriptures to be still. Even Jesus said to the waves, be still. I mean, there's a component to our spiritual life that is rooted in stillness and being quiet, settling ourselves down. Stress will tear us apart. It will make us sick. And I don't know about you, but I don't have time to be sick. I'll have to make time to be sick. When's the last time you called in sick as a caregiver? It's very difficult for me to take a sick day. So we can't ensure that we won't, but let's live in a way that we mitigate that a little bit better by taking time for stillness, so we don't have to make time for illness. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. And that's where that comes from in our spirit, to recognize that, look, I'm going to leave this to God to order and provide. He knows what's best. And that is my hope as a caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberg, and this is Hope for the Caregiver. And guess what? Producer Pat picked out some special stuff for you today. Let's see what she has. Happy Thanksgiving weekend. There is more to come. We'll be right back.
Danny, the baby just rolled over for the first time. Oh, what a strong little boy.
That a boy, son. You're on your way.
Aw. Oh, who's my strong little man?
Rollovers can be milestones in life, some early on and some later. One rollover you might consider is from your individual retirement account to a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. If you'd like to increase your retirement income and leave an impactful gift to the work of American Family Association, the charitable gift annuity is a worthwhile option. To learn more, contact the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345, or email foundation@afa.net. If you own an IRA, would like to increase your charitable giving, but need retirement income, the IRA to CGA rollover may be for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
I'm Rick Scarborough, and this is my take. On November 5th, the American people spoke. It was a resounding victory for all conservatives and for conservative Christians in particular. The party that won stood for America's founding values and said no to abortion, no to biological men participating in women's sports and sharing locker room facilities. The party that won said no to those extreme views on the transgender issue, including government-sponsored transgender-affirming surgery for inmates, and no to an open border that's been the gateway to anyone or anything coming into America, including violent criminals, the importation of drugs, human trafficking, and more. The party that won said yes to deportation of illegal aliens, beginning with those who have criminal records. Friends, this election forced Americans to take a position for or against Judeo-Christian values and constitutional principles. I'm Rick Scarborough, and that's my take.
He'll give you hope for tomorrow, joy for your sorrow, strength for everything you go through. Remember, he knows the plans he has for you.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver, and he does know the plans that he has for you, and that is my wife, Gracie, from her CD, Resilient, and she is indeed resilient. We're talking about finances today. We're talking about the cost of care, both physically, spiritually, emotionally, and fiscally. You see what it cost our country. And I have a special guest on today. It is Hans Scheil. He is the host of the Finishing Well radio show and podcast, and also the author of the book, The Complete Cardinal Guide. And he's got over 40 years of experience helping individuals plan for or near retirement. And Hans, thank you so much for being a part of this program today, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I want to go right to the Bible because, you know, just doing this show for 5 years and being with my friend and partner and really biblical teacher, Robbie Dillmore, I'm reading a chapter of the Bible every day, every morning, and it's how I start my day and sometimes more. And I just came across this verse in Luke, and I don't think it's by chance. And I went to Luke back around Christmas just because I wanted to read the Christmas story when all the commercialism was going on. And then, you know, it just led me to this point where I'm reading, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And so I think what Jesus is telling us here is that we're to care for the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and we're supposed to invite them to our feast and give things to them, do things for them. And where this speaks real specially to me is I have all kinds of people calling me from all over the country, and I stop and I take the time to help them. And I mean, all kinds of people that are rich, people that are middle wealth, and I have a lot of people that many would describe as poor, and it's usually the people that are in a bit of a hard way financially that they can use my help the most. And so as soon as we get somebody that comes to us that is in need, immediately the antennas go up, and we work extra hard to give them something that they can use. And this just spoke to me because I'm always struggling with this because I do run a business here, and but we work extra hard for these people, and we don't charge them. So, and you know, I'm talking about people that maybe have $70,000 in their IRA, and that's all the money they have in the world, and they've just let it sit there, and now they're facing minimum distributions. I might even be talking to the daughter, and the daughter who's looking after the mother, and they need to take some money out of this thing, and they really need some help doing it, and I'm there to help. And this verse just gave me some real strength coming straight from God that these are exactly who I'm supposed to be helping.
Well, and Luke 14 is where that is, and that is a fabulous scripture, and it gives the mandate of who we are as believers to go out to the highways and the byways and to reach these folks. And Jesus said very clearly, sick, naked, hungry, thirsty, prison, you know, these are things he's looking for, is to help others do this. And this audience is filled with caregivers who are putting themselves between a chronically impaired loved one and even worse disaster, and the financial toll it takes on them is substantial. I know. I've been doing it now 37 years. And I look at people with $70,000 in their IRA with envy. You know, because
sure.
I've had a long journey with Gracie, and I, she's all my money is in Gracie. She has quite a journey here. So I wanted you to kind of share some things about what are some common mistakes that people make in this journey that you see, and then let's talk about ways that you help kind of redirect them out of that.
Well, the first one that I see is the spouse, as you are, taking care of the loved one, the other spouse, or their wife or husband, and letting themselves get so run down that they end up sick themselves. And I'm sure that that's not what you brought me on, is to talk about that. I'm sure during your discussions, you give people a lot of help and advice on that about taking care of themselves. But I would just put that, from my perspective, as the biggest mistake that people make, and sometimes they make it just because they don't have any other choice. So I'm going to take them off the hook a little bit here. But when we get it to financially, what is the biggest mistake that caregivers make with their money is, number one, is avoiding and not the purchase of long-term care insurance themselves. I mean, it just that should be, if they don't have it for the person who is ill, and then they've just discovered this, and now they're in the caregiver position, they absolutely need to buy some long-term care insurance or something, some type of solution, and do some planning. So when they end up sick, they're not going to have a healthy spouse to take care of. So I would put that down as number two.
How do you distinguish between what's a good long-term care policy to get? What are some warning flags that we should, some red flags that we should be aware of when we go out to purchase these things? What are some guidelines that we need to keep in mind?
Well, what I say, there's four different categories of long-term care insurance or long-term care planning. And why don't I go over those first? I mean, you've got short-term care, you've got traditional long-term care insurance, which is, I think, you were referring to and I was referring to earlier. That's number two. Number three is going to be this hybrid life long-term care insurance, where there's the mixing of a life insurance policy and a long-term care policy in such a way that if you don't use it for long-term care, it pays off to your heirs after you die in terms of a life insurance benefit. And the fourth category is self-insurance. And you say, well, that doesn't sound like insurance. Well, self-insurance is where about 85% of the country is right now. And they're there by default. Mm. So, meaning they just said, I'm not going to do that. I'll just take care of that myself. I'll just pay for it if it happens. And so they're on self-insurance, and they're there by default. And what I'm speaking of is self-insurance by design. So, and that's really what I end up doing with a lot of people who can't qualify for the other kinds of insurance because of their health, then we're going to sit down and put together a plan. Well, what are we actually going to do if you need care? I mean, what's the plan? And that's what self-insurance by design is. So there's four kinds. And right. I want to answer your question of what should people be on the lookout for. Well, the first thing I'm looking out for is, do the person see the need? Because I think you ask the question in the vein, they already see the need, they know they have the need, and I'm going to get to a couple other things here, and I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, assuming people are actually going out and looking for long-term care policies.
That's true.
I don't really think that's the case.
Well, okay. I think you're right. I think that you've got to figure out, you've got to come to that point where you realize this is not going to end anytime soon, and it's probably not going to end in a way that I would like it to. So how do I prepare for this and be a good steward of me and our resources to the best of our abilities? And that's the first question we as caregivers have to ask, because particularly when you have families of special needs children, because the moment you get that diagnosis, that child may outlive you. I mean, you have family members with children with autism. I'm seeing a lot of this. Well, the child is not terminal. And I've got a very close friend of mine whose son now is in his 40s and he has Down syndrome. Well, my friend is in his 70s. And it used to be that Down syndrome children didn't live that long. Well, now they're living a lot longer. And now he's thinking that this child is going to outlive him. So these are hard moments of realization that caregivers are coming to. They're big, big obstacles in their path. And so that reckoning of, okay, we're going to have to make a decision here is the first step. You're right. And people aren't going out looking. They're kind of pushing this off way out into the future. But it needs to be right around the kitchen table today is what I hear you say.
Yeah, so that's what the first thing I'm going to look for is, you know, is just like the recognition of the problem and the interest in solving it. And we're going to spend some time in there first. Then the next place, or while I'm doing that, we got to look at the resources. So when you're thinking about going out and looking for a long-term care policy, maybe I get them to that. How are you going to pay for this thing? And that's where we really get into the four categories that I talked about is, you know, because you can buy traditional long-term care insurance and you can just pay for that by the month or by the year. And it's not cheap. We can talk about some general premiums in a second, but it's the place that people that don't have resources or money in the bank or money in an IRA, money in a 401k, in CDs, in something that they can put toward this problem, then we're going to look at traditional long-term care insurance. If people do have resources and they've got assets, well, we can't take all of them and throw them at this problem, but we can. That's what's going to happen if they actually get sick and need care. All their assets are going to get thrown at it, but perhaps we can take a piece of them and buy one of these hybrid life long-term care policies, either IRA money or just regular money that you've already paid taxes on, and we can pay for this stuff with one premium. So, or a combination of the two. I have some people that will buy half their policy with a single premium, and then they'll buy a traditional long-term care policy to go along with it. So they pay as you go and pay all up front. I mean, there's endless combinations. And I think that the short-term care is something that really doesn't get talked about. It's available in 39 states. I mean, there's a few states like California, New York, Florida, that don't allow insurance companies to sell these short-term care policies, but 39 states have it. And it's simply a policy that'll pay for a year of care at home, and it'll pay for a year of care in a facility.
Well, hold that thought for just a second. We've got to go to a break. We're talking with Hans Scheil, and he is the host of the Finishing Well broadcast and podcast. We're talking about taking care of ourselves, being good stewards of our resources and planning for the future, for finishing well. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
This is the Lost in Translation Ministry Minute. Here now is your host, Dr. Baruch Korman.
Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, this word poor can be also those who are afflicted, who are troubled spiritually. In other words, they are not content, they are not pleased with the spiritual condition of the world. They understand that a change is necessary. So Messiah says, blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the very first beatitude that we study, we see that statement of the kingdom of heaven.
Learn more about the teaching ministry of Dr. Baruch Korman at loveisrael.org. You'll find videos on almost any biblical topic on his YouTube page and on the My Bible Study app. That's loveisrael.org.
I'm forgiven. Now I have a reason for living. Jesus keeps giving and giving. Giving till my heart overflows.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio. This is Peter Rosenberg, and this is the program for you as a family caregiver. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. We are talking with Hans Scheil. He is the author of The Complete Cardinal Guide, over 40 years of experience specializing in helping individuals at or near retirement, and he is the host of the podcast and broadcast Finishing Well, and we're thrilled to have him because, you know, finances are a big part of our journey as caregivers, and we do not wish to be in a situation. Let me back up. We're so reactive that sometimes we think, well, we'll wait when that happens. But with finances and with the cost of everything going up the way it is and the intensity of it, we can't afford to wait until that happens to come up with a plan. Then we're going to end up just really in a pickle. And Hans has spent a lifetime helping people avoid that and redirecting out of that. So we're talking about the first thing you talk about is long-term care insurance, short-term care policies, if they're available in your state, some types of life insurance, something, some policies that you can have to shore up this very vulnerable area of our life. So, Hans, it's great to have you here. Continue on with what you're talking about. As we start to look, we don't want to get ourselves in a situation where we're insurance poor, but at the same time, we don't want to be destitute when the unthinkable happens. And with caregivers, we know the unthinkable is right around the horizon here, very, very soon approaching to us.
Well, I'm going to just mention, when you're starting to shop for this stuff or you're looking for it, I'm going to recommend that you shop for the person to help you with it more than you do the shop for the policy or the company behind it. Because 30 years ago, you would shop policies. You'd invite the person from three or four different companies out, three or four different people, and they would each give you a quote and talk about their policy. But today's day and time, most people that sell this stuff represent just about everybody anyhow, okay? And they've got all these options I'm speaking about. And so you really want to pick a person. I mean, you can look up the CLTC, Certified in Long-Term Care Insurance. It's a national association of financial advisors that specialize, and they've had specialized training in it. So that would be one place that you could look. But you really want to interview some people to find the right person that knows, like what I do, about the different types that are available. And we haven't even really talked about health yet, because we started talking about short-term care, and I'm going to talk about that, and that's a good option for people. But what pushes a lot of people there is the person we're writing the policy on, their health conditions. So, like, I have a lady sitting out in my lobby that is a client, and she has MS. And she's doing pretty well. She's in her 60s. But, you know, with MS, it's just, it's unpredictable when that's going to hit you and how hard it's going to hit you. But she's certainly, for either traditional long-term care or one of the hybrid policies, she's not insurable. And she may well be not insurable for short-term care, okay? And say, well, why are we talking about her? Well, her health has her in a, you know, uninsurable place. Now, there's a whole lot of people. We have people get declined for hybrid long-term care. They're ready to put up a whole bunch of single premium, and we write a couple, and then one of them just gets turned down because of, like, something like osteoporosis, something like that. And so we're able to go back in and put a short-term care policy on that person. And I'm thinking, for a lot of you caregivers out there, you may have health conditions yourself that prevent you from buying traditional long-term care, but I'll bet there's a chance you can get this short-term care. And it's pretty simple. It's going to provide 1 year in a facility. It's a, you know, up to like $400 a day you can buy. Most people buy like $200 a day or $6,000 a month, and it'll pay a whole 360 days, and then you're done, okay? And then for home health care, it pays $1,200 a week as an indemnity benefit, and then you can pick your caregivers. And there's a small floor on there that you got to have 3 visits in a week from a home health care agency to qualify for the whole $1,200. But then they just send you the check, and they'll pay for 52 weeks of care. I mean, that's over $60,000 that they'll pay, and then you're done. So it certainly doesn't provide the several years care that a traditional care policy does, but it doesn't cost as much, and it's easier from a health standpoint to qualify for. That makes sense?
It does make sense. It makes a lot of sense. And when you start thinking about how much the hourly rate is for caregivers to come into your home, that $1,200 gets eaten up pretty quick per week. And so that seems to be a very attractive path for a lot of caregivers right now, that short term, if you're able to squeeze that out. In fact, that's something I think I may look at for myself. I've got several things going on, but I live with a very volatile situation that, you know, I often tell myself and my fellow caregivers, sometimes we caregivers are one sprained ankle away from this thing turning into a Greek tragedy. Because what happens when we go down?
I mean, a lot of times when people start needing home health care, they don't need it 12 hours a day or 24 hours a day. I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, 4 to 6 hours, 2 to 4 to 6 hours, several days a week can get them along for a while. And the whole idea behind short-term care is, I use this with a lot of people that have picked that self-insurance route, and I'm saying, okay, so you've decided not to buy this insurance and just take this risk on yourself. And if you've ever sat down and tried to talk an 85-year-old man or 85-year-old woman that has money into spending some of it on care, well, you probably have tried to do that, Peter, and you know what I'm talking about. Is
I do.
That's not an easy sale. And I tell people that at 60 years old, that it would be good for you to buy this policy, and that way your family is going to be able to call somebody up and get them in there, and they're going to have a year to figure out what they're going to do next and how they're going to spend your money.
Well, and I've got some friends of mine right now out here who his aging mother, and it's costing quite a bit of money for her. And then they're thinking, okay, what's going to be left over for us? Because they're both in their 50s. And so they're in that spot. So I'm going to be making sure they hear this conversation with you today, Hans, because I think this is what we need, is that clear direction. Okay, here's some options. As I've said for years, don't let your eschatologist be your financial planner, because praying for the rapture is not a financial plan. And you'd be amazed how many people do that, Hans. And so I'm trying to redirect a little bit and say, okay, let's be a little bit better stewards. How about that? So talk about, go to the next one here. And as you, okay, you're shopping for the person, not necessarily the company or that particular policy. You're looking for a financial planner. What are some things you want to, besides going out to that place that you mentioned, the national organization and so forth?
If you just Google CLTC, they'll come up, and it's a certification for long-term care. And they just put your zip code in there, and they'll just give you a list of people who have been through a training, and they hold themselves out as people experienced. I mean, don't just go with the first one, but that'd give you a good place to start of people that are actually in this business, like me.
What kind of question would you ask if I was interviewing a financial planner like this, and I got their name from this organization, and I told them, I said, I'm looking to do this. What kind of question would you ask to kind of get a feel for who they are and what they can bring to the table?
Well, I think to go into my first questions that I'm going to ask the consumer calling me is maybe, why do I need this? Tell me why I need long-term care. I mean, it just, if you're the consumer calling in, because you're just setting them up to explain to you maybe what you already know, but you can just play devil's advocate for a second. So I'd start there, and then I'd be looking at what are the questions that they're asking you. I mean, it's just that they need to find out about your resources, and you need to be ready to share that with them, is how much you got bringing in by the month, whether there's discretionary money, whether you have money in your IRA or 401k, whether you've got other money or assets, which are certainly at risk if you're needing care in the future. But you're wanting them to ask you about that, or you need to be prepared to share that, because that's the first place. How are you going to pay for this thing? And then we need to get into, which I think you've been on since the beginning, is when we start vetting the particular policies, we need to know how long is the elimination period, which is like a deductible. I mean, it just, if I get sick and need care, how long am I going to have to wait before I can collect something out of this policy? How much is the daily amount? Does it pay equally for home health care as well as assisted living as well as a nursing home? How many years is care covered, or what's the overall maximum on the policy? Is there inflation? Because it's fine to talk about it in 2023. What's this stuff going to cost in 2040? And is this policy that you recommend going to be sufficient to cover it then? Have you thought about that? What are the health qualifications of the various policies? And do you have a company, and if somebody asked me this of me, do I have several companies and several policies within those companies that will write somebody with health conditions? And, the answer to that with us is yes. And you would want whoever you're doing business with to have a lot of options. Like the lady that has MS, we have something for her. It's not simple, but we've got a solution for her.
If I'm interviewing this individual to see if they can meet my needs, what are some red flags that maybe I need to move to the next individual when I hear them saying certain things? What would you say? Okay, because a lot of people don't know anything. They've never even talked to a financial planner. So how do you know if you got one that's going to be somebody you can rely on? What are some red flags that come up in the conversation? These are things I'd like for you to address in our last segment, if you don't mind. Can you hang around for one more segment?
Yeah, I can. I'll be glad to.
All right. Hang on just 1 minute. This is Peter Rosenberg. We're talking with Hans Scheil. He is the host of the Finishing Well podcast and radio show. And you can go to cardinalguide.com, cardinalguide.com. And we'll be right back. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back. I'll never forget walking into the hospital room after Gracie had her second amputation. Both legs are gone now. And she looked at me. She said, "I know what I'm going to do." And I was kind of startled. I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" She said, "I'm going to help provide prosthetic limbs to my fellow amputees and tell them about Jesus." And I said, "Well, baby, can we get out of the hospital first?" But she never let it go. And for almost 20 years, we've been working out of Ghana, West Africa. We treat patients all over there from other countries that come there. We send supplies. We send teams. We sponsor patients. We work with a prison where inmates volunteer to disassemble used prosthetic limbs so we can recycle the parts. All of this because Gracie trusted God with her heartache. We've got a huge shipment of supplies that is being loaded up right now to go out soon. Would you help us do it? StandingWithHope.com/giving. StandingWithHope.com/giving. There's prosthetic feet, knees, pylons, sleeves, adapters, all kinds of connectors. All of these things we are sending over there so that people can walk. We're going to point them to Christ. Help us out. StandingWithHope.com/giving.
If you could use just one word to describe AFR, variety would be accurate. You can go from one show that shines light on what's happening in Washington, D.C., to another that takes you deep into understanding God's Word, to yet another that shares how God is working through missionaries to other countries. And that's just scratching the surface. But in the variety, there's also unity, because everything you hear on AFR works together to fulfill the Great Commission. So if you just found us, or if you've been too busy to listen much lately, here's a sample of what you've missed.
They have no ability within themselves to self-correct.
Standing up for the truth matters at every turn.
James Comey was an enemy of Donald Trump from the get-go.
Don't worry, you can always go back and catch up with the podcasts at AFR.net. And no matter where you go, we're portable. If you can't listen on the radio, use our app, catch us on Roku, or ask Alexa. We're glad you're here. Thanks for being part of the family. American Family Radio.
He will be strong to deliver me safe, and the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberg. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That is Russ Taff and my wife, Gracie. And that's the underlying foundation of this. We don't need to be afraid. We need to rest in the fact that we have the joy of the Lord. We don't need to be afraid. God, throughout all of Scripture, that's the most often commanded Scripture, is fear not, because He knows we're afraid. We don't have to be. And there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. So we can even be joyful. That doesn't mean we're happy and giddy. That just means we're joyful knowing that we have a sovereign Savior. But when we seek out strong biblical counsel to say, okay, how do we make these decisions? And we're talking about finances. This is where people get nervous when they talk about this, because things can get out of hand really quick. That's why I invited Hans on the program today. Hans Scheil, author of the book, The Cardinal Advisor, The Complete Cardinal Guide, and Cardinal Advisor, cardinalguide.com is his website, and he is the host of the Finishing Well broadcast and podcast. And I think you would find that he brings not only great financial insight, but he brings great biblical insight. And that's how we can do this joyfully, not fearfully. And when we went to the break, I left you on a little bit of a cliffhanger of, okay, Hans has recommended we go out and not shop the product, but shop the advisor. And I think that's great wisdom. How do we know if we're getting in with somebody who may not be the right fit for us? Or what are some of the warning things, or what are some things we think maybe we need to go to the next one? So if you wouldn't mind just tackling that a little bit, Hans.
I think you're going to have a little trouble just finding people that sell this stuff, unless you really ask some questions that lead them that way, because people are in denial, even in the financial advising business, is that this is such a troubling subject. This is my theory on it, that there aren't that many people that sell it anymore, and basically there's an audience that doesn't really want to hear about it. So now we've got a customer who's listened to what we've said, and they have some resources. They want to solve this problem for themselves. And now they're out looking for an advisor. What are some of the things they want to ask them? Well, the first thing that sits in my craw a little bit is the financial person who might work in one of the big banks or one of the big stock brokerages, who has access to these hybrid products, and by hybrid, I mean a hybrid life long-term care. And they don't really know much about it. They just have somebody in their firm that knows a little bit about it. And they're going to say, oh, yeah, we can get you some long-term care. And then they can look at your money because maybe you have it invested with them, and they're going to take the $100,000 that you can put toward this and go out and shop and find a hybrid policy with somebody in their firm. So I think a question you want to ask anybody that you're going to about this is, how many of these policies have you sold in the last year? How many new customers have you taken on with this? And, you know, if it's 10 or less, I think you got to find somebody else. This stuff really requires a person to have a working knowledge of it. So that's one thing, is just asking them the number of policies. And I think you want to ask them, do you sell traditional long-term care insurance and hybrid long-term care insurance, hybrid life long-term care insurance? I mean, those are two distinct types of insurance, and there's a lot of people out there that only sell one of the two, and they don't sell the other. And I think you want to be able to sit down with somebody who sells both and really can offer both to you, depending on which one's right for you.
Do you cover this a lot in your podcast?
Yeah.
These kinds of
absolutely.
Things?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because I want to interrupt you and really encourage people to go out and listen to your podcast and access it, because these are very complex things for so many of us. We feel uncomfortable with it. So I'm glad that you do this, because, and I love that question. Do you, first off, how many do you sell a year, and do you sell traditional long-term care and a hybrid one? And if they're not familiar with these products, why do you want to buy it from them? That's basically what you're saying.
Well, yeah, they're basically just selling you a policy if they've got one or two traditional long-term care, and that's all they sell. And, you know, some of these people think that the hybrid life long-term care is evil. I mean, they've just come to believe that for whatever reason. And then vice versa. A lot of the financial people, which I'm one of the financial people, they only sell the hybrid. So they're only going to sell you long-term care if you got a hunk of money you can throw into it. And they're not well-versed on just writing a standard traditional long-term care, which is best for some people. So, you know, what we talk about on our show is, it's based on the book, there's seven worries. And I'll just rattle them off real quick. Social Security, Medicare, long-term care, IRA, 401k, planning and tax planning around that, minimum distributions, income planning, and investment. So when you get retired, your money is more of a source of an income than it is just money sitting in the bank. And we need to plan that out. Estate planning and planning what happens to your money. And the first benefactor of the estate is the surviving spouse. So for a lot of people, that's really the extent of the estate planning, is making sure their spouse is going to be okay if they meet an early demise or the other one lives on a lot longer. And then the last one is income taxes. So we take those seven subjects. I'm an expert in all seven of them. And every week we talk about one of them. They're called the seven worries. And if you go to cardinalguide.com, you can just find all the seven worries and all our stuff and all our shows and all my YouTube stuff. I mean, believe me, there's a lot of it up there where we're just talking about it. It's all at cardinalguide.com.
Well, and that's a wonderful resource because, the other day I had to fix something. I live way out in rural Montana now. And if you're not somewhat independent, you're out of luck, because help is a long ways away. I live 10 miles from a paved road. So I go to YouTube, and I live way out in the middle of nowhere. Montana's been social distancing since 1889. And when I go out to YouTube to find out how to do something, because it helps a long way. I mean, even if I got a service repairman to come out here, it'd be forever to get out here. So you have to learn how to do these things. And there's so many different resources available. And here's a great resource with you of, okay, we don't need to be afraid about this. Let's go get some information. Let's do our due diligence. You've put this out there. This is a real ministry from you. You want people to be able to be confident that they've made good financial decisions, and you've provided a step-by-step. You're holding people's hands while they do it. And I really appreciate you doing this and coming on this program. And I want to keep having you back on, because I think this is going to be an area where so many people struggle and they're afraid, and their fear keeps them from making good decisions. And we don't need to be afraid. We need to be confident, and we there are resources available that can help us walk through this. And like you said, and please reiterate this for folks who are just now joining the program, you have people come to you with very scant resources, and yet there is a path for help. They could always improve. Fair enough?
Well, that's absolutely true. And I just read what I read in the beginning. Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. And I think about that every day. And so when somebody calls me, I get calls. I'm licensed in all 50 states in the District of Columbia. And we do our work by phone and by Zoom, and we take care of people anywhere. And the people that have nothing, they're always, oh, I don't think I have enough to talk to you or whatever. And I just say, just come on. I'll let the Lord decide, you know, who I'm supposed to help and not help, okay? And just tell me your problem. And people, I get a lot of joy out of helping the people that are very much in need.
I love that. I love that. I'll let the Lord decide. You just come on. That's what we need. And we need more of this, of what you're doing here in our country. And I'm glad to have you as this resource. If people want to find out more about you, again, it's tell us all about your website and how people can get more involved with you.
Yeah, it's two words smashed together, cardinalguide.com, and you know, you get there and it's just got the Seven Worries tab, and it's got all our radio shows, all my YouTube shows. You can go on YouTube and you can just type Cardinal Advisors, and that's ORS ADVISORS, and you go on YouTube. I've got about 200 videos up there, and I'm guessing about 15 of them are about long-term care. So all the things we talked about today, it's all in videos, and pretty easy to find. And that's why I don't really talk about myself too much on the radio or the videos, because I'm just figuring I'm a pretty easy guy to find. I mean, you just go into Google and you type Hans Scheil, S-C-H-E-I-L. You just put that in Google, and you're just going to get pages of hits on me, and they all lead you to the same place. So,
well, I'm grateful to know you and to learn more about this. I want to have you back on so that people can have a sense of confidence when they approach this. There is no need for us to bow out of having good financial planning. As caregivers, we see firsthand how much more can we take a hit. And there's no need for us to do this to ourselves. I have to make these decisions, still having to make these decisions. And I've had to adjust, and I've had to go sit down and have a humbling conversation over my meager resources with professionals. But you know what? That's part of it. And
sure,
we have a Heavenly Father who does not have meager resources. So let's seek the advice and counsel of solid biblical men and women who can help us on that path to financial healthiness. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers. Hans, thank you so much for being a part of this program today, and I'm going to have you back on, okay?
Okay. Thank you, and God bless you.
You too. This is Peter Rosenberger, HopeForTheCaregiver.com. We'll see you next time.